الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على Maliki
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
حضرت مسیح موعود علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے
اپنی کتب میں, in his books, in his writings, in his statements, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, has expounded the purpose of his advent. Therefore, we who claim to be in the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, need to keep this purpose, or we should say these purposes, before us at all times. This is so that we can be counted amongst those who fulfill the right of being members of the Jamaat of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Today, I shall present some of these objectives before you. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has said in one place, Allah the Almighty has sent me in this age to revive the faith of people once again. Allah has sent me to increase the strength of belief in mankind, that they should firmly believe that God exists, that He listens to prayers, and He rewards good deeds and punishes vices. Elucidating this further, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, states, until man's faith is complete, he will be unable to fully perform good deeds. He says that the extent to which his faith is weak, the more deficient will be his virtuous or good actions. Thus prophets come to inculcate complete and perfect belief and faith in Allah the Almighty. This is a major objective of the coming of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, so that weaknesses can be removed and that faith can be perfected. This is a summary of some of the pronouncements of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. I've encapsulated his statements in a nutshell rather than conveying them word for word. How will these weaknesses be removed? And how will the faith be perfected? The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has expounded this clearly, that this would not be achieved by simply coming into my bed, by pledging allegiance to me. In fact, one would also have to strive and make efforts to this end. This is the very principle that has been taught by Allah the Almighty, that وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَحْتِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has translated this as, that those amongst us who strive will surely be guided to the ways of Allah the Almighty by Him. So therefore, this is the principle in order to perfect and complete one's faith, that simply by taking the bayt, one will not reform. If alongside taking the bayt, in order to reform one's condition, efforts and struggle is not undertaken, if one does not completely devote himself to Allah the Almighty and makes efforts to reform himself with tireless struggle, then his bayt would be useless. Elsewhere, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has stated, the progress of everything in the world is gradual. Spiritual progress is similarly gradual. Without striving and struggle, nothing can be achieved. And the struggle you should make should be for God alone. In other words, one should purify himself and sincerely always be in the search for God. It should be an effort to act upon God's teachings, rather than devising useless self-concocted spiritual exercises and practices which are contrary to the teachings of the Holy Quran, as do hermits and ascetics. This is the task which Allah the Almighty sent me for, in order to demonstrate to the world the manner of reaching to God the Almighty. What did the promised Messiah demonstrate to us? What did he expect of us? The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, established those examples and inculcated us to tread upon them, which his master and guide, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, established of worship and of good morals. Thereafter, the companions tirelessly strive in order to establish these very examples, and thus came to be entitled as those who had acquired the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Subsequently, they became the recipient of such bounties and blessings of Allah the Almighty that made an entire world follow them. Then explaining what type of people his followers should be, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has said in one place, "I do not wish that at the time of birth one repeats its words in a parrot-like fashion. This is utterly useless. Acquire knowledge of how to purify yourself, for this is precisely what is needed. My task and objective is solely to cultivate pure reformation within yourselves, that you become an altogether new person. Therefore, it is necessary for each one among you to understand this secret and to bring about such a transformation that will enable you to profess that you have become a completely different person." Thus, if we make an effort to reform ourselves, but do not make ourselves into a new person, do not make ourselves into such a person who is distinct from the rest of the world, then, in accordance with the statements of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, our bet, our pledge of allegiance, would be of no use whatsoever. In another place, explaining the purpose of his coming, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated, "This humble self has been sent for the sole purpose of conveying this message to mankind, that of all the religions today, the one true religion, which is in accordance to the will of God the Almighty, is that religion which was revealed by the Holy Quran. In order to enter the door to salvation, the only door is through La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger." The promised Messiah alayhi salam has also said, "Our real objective and purpose is to present and establish the greatness and majesty of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Mention of me is with reference. If I am praised in any way, it is always with reference to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." So we have also taken the bet to fulfill this objective. And to fulfill this purpose, we need to acquire the teachings of the Holy Quran, so that we can act upon it and we can also spread it to others. For the salvation of the world is also through La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So thus tell the world that by coming under the banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, they also can attain salvation. Then in another place, explaining why he has come, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated, "Allah has so decreed that Islam should prevail in the current time over all other religions. He has sent me for this very purpose, in the same way that appointed people of God were sent in the past. Elucidating further the purpose of his mission, the promised Messiah alayhi salam has stated, I have been sent by God the Almighty to demonstrate the superiority of Islam over all other religions and nations through convincing proofs and illuminating arguments. Elsewhere, the promised Messiah alayhi salam has also explained the purpose of his advent as follows. I desire to cultivate belief of God the Almighty within people to save them from the poison of sin, so that a transformation can be brought about in the nature and disposition, that he gains a new life by accepting a death, rather than experiencing delight through sin, that he comes to have repulsion towards it. One who develops such a state can truly pronounce that he has recognized God. Allah the Almighty has full knowledge of the fact that in the current age, understanding and knowledge of God has vanished. No religion remains which is either capable of leading man to this station or of cultivating this nature within him. Regret cannot be expressed by us in this regard towards any one religion, but rather this calamity and evil has now become general and this epidemic is now dangerously widespread. I say truly that through this belief in God, man becomes angelic and the angels prostrate for him. He is filled with a spiritual light. In short, when such an age befalls the world where knowledge and awareness of God the Almighty disappear, when all types of calamities and wickedness become prevalent, when people no longer fear God, when the rights of God are instead given to man, then in such a state, God sends his appointed one, who he grants the light of his knowledge. The chosen one is profusely cursed. He is mocked, he is tortured, and he is inflicted with every type of suffering. Ultimately, however, God's chosen one triumphs and spreads the light of truth in the world. It is in the same way that in the present age, God the Almighty has appointed me and granted me the light of his knowledge. The promised Messiah alayhi salam has also stated, I have been commanded to train and teach the people in cultivating their moral qualities. On one occasion, the promised Messiah alayhi salam was asked, what will be the outcome and result of your claim and messengership? What purposes will be fulfilled by your coming? And why have you come? The promised Messiah alayhi salam replied as follows, it will strengthen the connection with God the Almighty which has diminished. It will dampen the love of the world and materialism which dominates people. It will restore purity which has diminished and will strengthen the relationship between human devotion and servitude with God. And the promised Messiah alayhi salam said that all of this will happen through me. This is a major and great purpose and claim that the promised Messiah alayhi salam has stated. We observe in today's materialistic world that people are engulfed in worldliness and have forgotten their Creator. Even those who somewhat believe in the existence of God and in religion do so superficially. Such people neither have full belief or conviction in the existence of Allah the Almighty, nor do they have perception and insight into God or religion. For them, the real thing is the world's glitz and glamour. They only follow religion by name. In such a circumstance, most certainly the promised Messiah alayhi salam's claim is very lofty. However, the promised Messiah had full and complete belief and conviction in Allah the Almighty. He had so much confidence in his own mission and words. This is demonstrated and expressed in the words that I have related. However, all of his words, his claim, and his objectives of his mission are also drawing our attention that after listening and reading all of this, we have entered into the Jamaat. Or that our forefathers accepted Ahmadiyyat. Thereafter, we obtain the blessings of their acceptance. So all of this makes a demand of us. Or these objectives make a demand of us. And it is that we make those objectives a part of our lives. We need to make those purposes a part of our lives. We also need to strive and make efforts to acquire those outcomes. That is, those tasks that the promised Messiah alayhi salam came to bring about in the world, we also need to endeavor to attain. We need to also become helpers in the mission of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. When we listened to the one who called out and came to believe, thereafter, we also should and do announce that Nahnu Ansarullah, that we are the helpers of Allah the Almighty. We will bring about pious reformations within and disseminate this message. We will strive to fulfill that objective which the promised Messiah alayhi salam's advent occurred for. So therefore, we would need to assess ourselves. We would need to reflect, and we would need to form plans to this effect. We would need to supplicate to Allah the Almighty for His help, to enable us to achieve successes, and to constantly progress. If, after accepting the promised Messiah alayhi salam, we rest easy and hold no concern or worry, then this would be not fulfilling the right of the bed. If, after accepting the claim of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, we sit idle and do nothing, it would make us transgressors. However, at the same time, when we look at our resources, when we look at our current state, we ponder and we think, that is all of this actually possible? Even if we strive in this way, what will it do? On the one side, our resources are limited, and the other side, we find that over 80% of the world's population are disinterested in religion. Instead, they rush behind the world and materialism. In these developed countries, they have wealth. They have all manners of progress and other materialistic means. This has led to the people here becoming distant from God the Almighty. These people say that we do not have any time to waste in the search of God. Just in my mail yesterday, a letter was sent from Japan by an Ahmadi who expressed great pain and suffering. He wrote that I said to one of my Japanese friends, who is a very well-mannered person and who I am very well acquainted with, and I said to him that you should pray to God the Almighty to guide you towards the right path. He replied that I do not have any time to spend in the search of your God or to seek guidance from your God. I am busy in many other things. So thus, this is the state of the world. These countries consider themselves to be developed, yet this is the condition. The major powers and wealthy countries make an effort to make the poorer countries follow behind them on the pretext of resources and wealth. So thus, when this state is prevalent and people become negligent towards listening or at least a large proportion of the population, are not paying attention. And wealth and materialism is engulfing everyone. Yet at the same time, as I stated, our resources are limited. So in such a circumstance, how can we challenge materialism and disbelief? This appears to be apparently impossible, that we can bring the majority of the world to come to recognize God the Almighty, or that we can establish the greatness and grandeur of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, and says so very emphatically, that I have been sent to achieve all of this, and this most certainly will come to pass, inshallah, God willing. So thus we also, as a result of this claim of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, after coming into his bayt, his allegiance, are announcing, whether apparently or not, but our coming into the bayt alone automatically makes us announce, and should do, that nahnu ansarullah, that we are the helpers of Allah the Almighty in his religion, and that we will remain steadfast upon this, inshallah, God willing. We will not become frustrated by the rejection of the world. For we are not furthering this mission from a worldly perspective. In fact, the help and succor of Allah the Almighty reassures us at every step. That if you devote yourselves entirely to Allah the Almighty and then make efforts, new avenues will continuously open up. So thus, if we consider from a worldly perspective, relying only upon resources, then our success would appear to be the dream of a madman. If we consider this from worldly power and worldly resources and means, then we would become worried and concerned by just the context of one country. Take, for example, Russia, China, any country of Europe, any country of the Americas, any island, or any country of Africa. Everywhere we look, so many impediments will be visible, which would frighten us from moving forward. The circumstances of different countries and the pomp, glory and glamour of the world were neither favorable for us some decades ago, nor are they today. But these are the works of Allah the Almighty, which will and are occurring with the grace of the Almighty Allah. For example, there was a time when Russia existed with all its states. Due to the communist government, preaching was not possible there. Now, a part of it has become independent and has become distant of religion, and the glitz and glamour of the world has blinded it. On the other side, the Muslim states that were formerly part of Russia, the muftis and the selfish leaders have frightened the government to such a degree that they place obstacles at every step in the path of Islam Ahmadiyyat. There are restrictions upon the Jamaat. The Ahmadis there are made frightened, are threatened, and are harassed. Look at the Western countries. Worldliness has also reached their extreme, even here. Vulgarities and indecencies are given the protection of the law. The indecency which Allah the Almighty destroyed a nation for, that indecency in the name of sympathy is protected. In China, people have no interest in religion. There is a race to advance as much as possible in materialism. From an economic perspective, it is shaping up to become a major world power. Japan is also a very developed country. They are advanced in technology, and we observe amazing progress in this regard. The majority are running behind the world. However, they are far removed from religion. I just gave the example of the person who said that he does not have time for God, God forbid. The majority hold this same viewpoint. They say, what type of God is it? And who is the God? It may be the case that from a moral perspective, they are quite advanced. However, worldliness and materialism has removed them from religion. When Japanese people are asked, they apparently state that their traditional religion is Shintoism. However, in reality, they are following a strange combination of Shintoism, Buddhism, and Christianity. Practically speaking, the religious practices are limited only to the rituals at different stages, such as birth, during life, and after death, which are catered for by these different religions. Nonetheless, they have no true connection with the religion. As I stated, the majority of the people in the West have forgotten God the Almighty. It is not only that they have forgotten Allah the Exalted. In fact, they mock God. They consider religion to be a burden. Nobody goes to the church in Christianity. Christians say that we are making efforts, but the churches are being sold. So thus, this is the circumstance in the world. As I stated, that our resources from a worldly perspective are virtually equal to nil. Before these worldly people, our resources hold not even an iota's value. Thus, all of these things create concern, and they should do so. That in such a situation, how will we further the mission of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace? God the Almighty, however, who sent the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the entire world, God the Almighty, who in this era sent the true servant of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has stated that turn to me and search for my paths. How can we turn to God the Almighty and search for His paths? Allah the Almighty states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. That, O ye who believe, seek help with patience and prayer. Surely Allah is with thee steadfast. Therefore, this is Allah. When beseeched for help, then even huge impediments evaporate. Allah the Almighty, who possesses all powers. Allah the Almighty, who with His majesty and glory is the master of all powers. He has the power to make anything impossible possible. Allah the Almighty sent the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a savior until the end of times for every nation and every person. Allah the Almighty revealed the Holy Quran to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and perfected the Sharia, the law, which contains worldly and spiritual solutions for every age. Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, in the current age to rejuvenate Islam. Allah the Almighty states, there is no need to fret. When such circumstances arise, where impediments emerge, when such a situation emerges, where your intellect is unable to decide, at such a time, through patience and prayer, beseech Allah for help. So therefore, if sincerely and devotedly you supplicate to Allah the Almighty for help, then seemingly difficult task would become easy. This is the promise of Allah the Almighty, that is, religion will prevail. But for you to become a part of that victory, you require patience and prayer. But what type of patience and what type of prayer are required? For this, the first principle has already been explained, that turn to Allah and devote yourself to Him. Sabr possesses different meanings in the lexicon. For example, lexicon means with a constant and permanent effort endeavor, desist from carrying out vices. A true believer and an Ahmadi possesses a great responsibility that in this materialistic and worldly age, when satanic attacks are coming from all directions, when evil and vice are present at every turn, that he should carry out a struggle against these bad things, and he should keep himself in control. Further, sabr also means to remain steadfast upon good deeds. One should not perform virtuous actions only temporarily. Yet when the greed of the world stands before him, he becomes negligent of goodness. Always pay attention to amal-e-saliha, performing righteous deeds. There is a need to find out the amal-e-saliha, or what these righteous deeds are, from the Holy Quran. The word sabr also means that one should present all his issues and problems and matters before Allah the Almighty. There should be no remorse when facing any difficulty. Whenever concerned or when suffering in any way, present your matter to God. So when this will be the prevalent condition of your sabr, then Allah the Almighty will also provide His help. And you will progress in the ranks of spirituality. A true believer's £1, $1, and 1 rupee will so avail compared to tens of millions of worldly wealth that will astonish the world. Alongside sabr, remaining steadfast upon goodness and desisting from vices and presenting all your matters and issues before Allah the Almighty, Allah has also said that salat is also necessary. Salat also possesses different meanings, one of which means the formal prayer. That is to say, here we have been counseled that believers should seek the help of Allah the Almighty through the formal prayer. The believer should strive to fulfill the due rite of prayer. The greatest results of the sabr will be born when attention is given towards prayer. Salat also means to obtain the mercy of Allah the Almighty, to carry out istighfar, that is, seeking forgiveness. Salat contains all these meanings. Now, this does not only include superficial prayer. Rather, it is to pay attention towards prayers while fulfilling its rite. Have mercy upon the creation of Allah the Almighty and fulfill their rite also. This is so that you can obtain the help and succor of God. Send durood, salutations and blessings upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that you can acquire God's help. If the sabr and salat are made extensive in this manner, then Allah the Almighty's help will also descend. All tasks will continuously become easy. The doors of Allah the Almighty's bounties, grace and blessings will continuously open. Thus, this is the work of a true believer, that he should make his efforts, his worship, his morals, to reach the best and highest possible level. Do whatever you possibly can, and leave the matter with Allah the Almighty. However, if you are not fulfilling the due of sabr, nor are you doing full justice to salat, then most certainly you will be deprived of the blessings of Allah the Almighty. As I stated, one meaning of sabr is to abstain from vices and bad deeds. Tawbah and istighfar, repentance and seeking forgiveness are necessary for this. In one place, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states that true repentance occurs when three aspects are taken care of. Firstly, is to take all the thoughts and imaginations out of your heart, which are becoming a means of corrupting it. Those thoughts and considerations which tempt and incite you towards vices and evil. In other words, you should have abhorrence and loathsomeness towards even the thought of doing anything bad. The second point is to express regret and mortification over vice and evil. You should consider in your heart that it is bad to such a degree that you become embarrassed and that this is demonstrated. The second is the demonstration and expression of mortification and shame. The third point is to make a firm resolve that I shall never carry out this vice again. In sabr, this is the very state that is cultivated. It's only then that it can truly be called a state of sabr. So if we bring about such a condition, and if we make full efforts to develop such a state of sabr, then Allah the Almighty's extraordinary signs of help and succor will also descend. Such signs, which Allah the Almighty had promised to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, will also be witnessed by us. It cannot be the case that we make no efforts to abstain from vices, that we do not tread on the path of righteousness, that we do not understand the spirit of the mission of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, that we do not turn to God in all our matters, that we do not discharge the dues of mankind, that we do not give attention to invoking salutations and blessings, that is, durood, upon the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, through the blessings of which we become near to Allah the Almighty, and that nor are we fulfilling the right or doing justice to the Salat, yet we expect that we are going to bring the world under the banner of Islam, that we are going to fulfill those objectives and purposes which are the purposes and objectives of the advent of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Inshallah, God willing, the world will most certainly come under the banner of Islam. However, if we do not discharge our dues, if we do not take our sabr and salat to the highest levels, then we cannot become a part of that victory and triumph. So we must endeavor to fulfill this right. This is what we tell the world, that one day we will prevail in the entire world. During this tour as well, in New Zealand, a journalist asked me a question, that as you are in small numbers, what need do you have of a mosque? There was already an existing hall. So I replied to him that we are small in numbers today, but through this teaching, which we have received through the Holy Quran, one day, inshallah, God willing, we will become the majority. And not just one, we will stand in need of many mosques here. So thus, for this, everywhere in the world, efforts need to be made, and there is a need to keep a vigilant eye over your state and condition. However, here I would like to say with regret that the attention that should be given towards worship and towards prayers and towards establishing a connection and relationship with Allah the Almighty is not being given. It is just a few days ago, for example, a lady during Mulaqat said to me whilst weeping and crying profusely that you state that we should build mosques and fill them. You say that we should increase the grace of the mosques and populate them more, and that we should do justice to Salat. However, whenever you go on tour, then the attendance at the mosque decreases significantly. So if this attendance has decreased as a result of those who normally come from afar no longer coming to the Fazl Mosque, because this lady was referring to the prayers at the Fazl Mosque, that people normally come as a result of me being there. So if it relates to the people coming from afar not coming, that is a matter of aside. If those people do not come here during those days, they need to be offering their prayers in the local centers and local mosques. I hope and expect that such people do act upon this. However, if this decrease in attendance at the mosque is as a result of those living near to the mosque not coming, then this is a matter deserving of grave concern, which we should give attention towards. Similarly, after my tour in Australia, somebody wrote a letter to me that the attendance at the mosque has decreased significantly. So thus, whether it relates to Australia, the United Kingdom, or any other country in the world, remember that if you want to bring about a revolution, if you want to discharge the responsibility which has been entrusted upon us to further the mission of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, if you want to fulfill the right of the bet, then you would have to establish the attendance at the mosque on a permanent basis. You would have to bring about a pious reformation in your entire condition. You would have to raise the standard of your worship. Signs will manifest at the point when you fulfill the rites of Salat and Sabr, when you efface yourself wholly and absolutely in the path of God. It is when you fulfill the rite of establishing Tawheed, the oneness of Allah the Almighty. When all of this comes about, then we will also observe the signs of Inna Allaha Ma'as Sabireen, that surely Allah is with the steadfast. God Himself will descend to help us, and all His powers and manifestations will come to our aid. The hearts of the people of the materialistic world will be turned in our favor by God the Almighty, and blessings will be infused in our tasks. The world will come to recognize the status of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and come under his banner. The unity of God would become established. And those who reject God will turn to God's worship. May Allah the Almighty make it so that we fulfill all our dues in this regard and come to witness this. After the Friday prayer, I will lead a funeral prayer in absentia. It is of Dr. Bashiruddin Osama Sahib of the United States. He passed away on the 2nd of November at the age of 82. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He accepted Ahmadiyyat in 1955. He was amongst the early African American Ahmadis. He was very regular in his salat. He was an extremely loyal and sincere Ahmadi. He was an honorable and respectable person, and he showed extreme fidelity towards Khilafat. Although he was passionate and zealous, he was a very humble person and meek of nature. He had the honor to visit Rabwa and meet Hadrat Khalifatu Masih II. Similarly, he also met Hadrat Khalifatu Masih III on one occasion. He met Hadrat Khalifatu Masih IV numerous times. He had great affection for Hadrat Khalifatu Masih IV. And Hadrat Khalifatu Masih IV also had a special bond with him. He also performed Hajj with his wife to the house of Allah. For the last 20 years, he was serving as the Naib Sadr of the Cleveland Jamaat. He had great fervor for Khidmat-e Khalq, serving mankind. In particular, he took special care of his African-American brothers. In the 1950s, he wrote a small book on the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By profession, he was a dentist. His respected wife, Fatima Osama Sahiba, also served as Sadr Lajna of the Cleveland Jamaat for a long period of time. He leaves behind in his family two sons, Mukit Osama, who is 56 years old, and Zafrullah Osama Sahib. They both have a very deep and special connection with the Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased, and may Allah the Almighty enable for his children and his progeny to always remain attached with the Jamaat.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله